I have two things. Two comments. One, how about this weather? Could we always have this? I don't think it's too much to ask. Could rain for a few days. Although we would have to weed even that. And is that our new cash crop of Datura? It's astounding. Is that what's in that field? I couldn't tell if it was in the field across the road.
I'm not sure either, actually. I don't think so, but I'm not. I can't
tell you. Nature loves this weather like I do. It's
incredible.
Crazy.
It's really astounding.
It's very exciting.
Yeah.
Very fun.
What's Datura? What is
Datura? Is that big green leaves and then the white flowers that kind of trumpety looking.
Yeah.
And I think they're poisonous.
Right, very poisonous.
I don't know. Are they hallucinogenic on the way to being poisonous? So you know, we could find the balance.
I haven't.
Oh, what should we look at this evening? Yeah.
So I would like to talk a little bit about play.
Yes. Can you say why that has arisen in your conscious awareness?
So today is day one of this the focus on play in our year-long retreat. Which I totally did not expect.
I know. With the kind of... We came out with the heavy hitters. And then... Play! All right.
Yeah. So it's really been fun to watch. So first of all, you know, somebody was... well, the story, first of all, was, oh, well, you know, I'm really playful. I love to play. And so, you know, what am I going to look at here? And as I was reading the assignment, but just watching that. And then as I read it again, this time recorded it, and came in, oh, yeah. Yes, there's a lot of exuberance and a lot of fun around play. And what about all these places where play doesn't happen? Because I'm afraid, basically. You know, there's too much to do. I'm not adequate, and I'm not keeping up. Or, you know, I certainly can't play that much with the kids at school because they'll get out of hand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and so all these different things that need to be serious. Uh-huh. You know, work and the to-do list. And
after those are taken care of, then it's okay to play?
Well, it's, yes, right. But it's not even the same person. That person doesn't play.
Ever.
That person is afraid and trying to survive and, you know.
Has control issues.
Control issues.
Yeah.
Yeah, very much so.
Well, the idea of you can't play with the kids at school because they'll get out of hand. Mm-hmm. And that's dangerous. So you can't play, you can't have fun if you have to keep everything in control. And so if there's too much to do, you've got to figure out how to get it done. So I can just, you know, I can feel the muscles tightening. Mm-hmm. In an unplayful way.
So it was, I thought, oh, wow, that is just fabulous. I really love, I didn't expect to look at those issues from the perspective of play. Mm-hmm. And then I was writing down where do I suffer around play? And the person came up with, before I write down where I want to suffer, I just want to say, I love it. And so there was just these big smiley faces and all of the stuff around play written down first, you know.
Yes.
And then, you know, and I love this focus and stuff like that. And here's where I suffer around it. Mm-hmm.
Because conditioning is really excited to get to the where you suffer, right? It makes great long lists of where you suffer. Get a content, and okay, here we go. Because this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is what's wrong. This is what's wrong with you. This is what's wrong with that. This is what's wrong. This is what's wrong.
Did you catch that? Yeah. Well, and then what I've been watching is then, being here is play. And working meditation is play. And, you know, everything is play when that's what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
They got caught in that little thing there, and okay, and then glad to see it, you know, and really, really happy to be doing working meditation, having the sense that it just feels so good to be, you know, doing that kind of practice. It just feels so, and anyway, and just, it's not like, and this, it's not like this, the watching the person for whom the stakes are high, who's afraid of, you know, messing up and it being seen to be messing up. But also someone else who's just like having fun with it all. That feels like play.
So play as a process, mm-hmm. having nothing to do with content.
Right.
And in the same way, we could say control is a process, mm-hmm. having nothing to do with content, mm-hmm. right? Because that guy who's in a knot, it doesn't matter what the subject is, right? He's going to approach it as if every moment his life is on the line, right? And the person who plays, it doesn't matter. I mean, we can call it working meditation. We could call it playing meditation. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. With the different places of suffering, that really did seem like they all seem like the same process. Mm-hmm. They really do. You know, whether it doesn't matter, whether it's with the kids at work, whether it's, you know, a to-do list, whether it's being here and being afraid, mm-hmm. it just all seems like the same thing going on.
Yeah. That's the advantage of that. Month with this, month with this, month with this, right? The process starts getting a little familiar. Yeah. Sequoia, did I see it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if this doesn't have a whole lot to do with play, but, or maybe it does.
That's okay. You can help me if you want to play. You can be somewhere else.
There's been a lot going on. One of the things I've been looking at is facing things squarely.
Facing things squarely.
Okay. Which I think is a great idea.
It's a wonderful idea.
It's actually it seems like one of the strongest suits that I was given. But something triggered a painful experience in my life this week, and that's been, you know, it's been painful for a while, and I've been working with accepting, embracing, letting go, and, you know, what does that mean, and, you know, think I get to a place with it, and then something happens like that, and, you know, and there's a lot of suffering, and I think, well, you know, there's still some stuff.
So, let me see, and so there's an event in your mind that was painful, traumatic, mm-hmm. and periodically, something puts you in touch with that again, and you basically go to the same place. Or at least this time you realize, okay, that's still a raw nerve.
Yeah, I see there's still...
Raw nerves? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just see there's still a lot of suffering around that. Mm-hmm. And, so I was doing some recording with it, and here's where I got to, which... The time felt really big. I, you know, there's a certain amount of victim, and it's happened, and it's awful, and, you know, I there's a lot of suffering around. I should have been able to control it. Mm-hmm. It should not have happened. I should have been in charge. It shouldn't have happened. And so I was recording, and I saw, oh my God, there's not one person in the planet. I mean, horrendous things are happening every moment. Joyful things are happening every moment. But it's what's what that event wasn't any different than everything that's going on continually. Mm-hmm. And that nothing happened, everyone that anything unfortunate happens to is a good person. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, you know, I was just holding it, but somehow it had something to do with my goodness.
Of course.
You know?
Because if you were the right person.
If I was the right person,
it wouldn't have happened.
And it just, oh, the slate just got dropped. It's kind of like the one about the Buddha saying, if you can go to a house and find someone who has not died, you know, then, and I just thought, oh my God. You know, this has happened and worse to a lot, to, you know, and to people everywhere, and really, 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 really good people. And no one deserves any of it.
Right.
And in seeing that, it was like,
she's off the hook.
She's off the hook. It just felt so not personal, mm-hmm, for the first time ever. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's such an ugly, ugly, ugly aspect of that very ugly system, mm-hmm, isn't it?
Yeah.
So something awful happens in a person's life, and instead of any sympathy or support or care or understanding, the perspective that you've gotten to, it's your fault.
Yeah.
You're blamed.
Yeah.
For this awful thing having happened.
Yeah.
It's really hideous.
Yeah.
And until we see it, it's really believable.
It's so believable.
The entire culture, I don't know about the rest of the world, but this culture, mm-hmm, deeply believes.
Oh,
deeply believes.
Yeah.
That it's your fault.
It's your
fault. If you're in those circumstances.
Yeah. So I felt like that was, you know, when I hear that, you got to face things squarely, and, you know, it just sounds like, well, you know, you just got to really look at something awful. But I felt like that was facing it squarely.
That's right. You did look at something awful.
Mm-hmm.
And you found out what was awful about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't you.
Yeah. Exactly.
But until you faced it squarely, as long as you were trying to dodge and, mm-hmm, run and hide, mm-hmm, then,
yeah,
the belief that it was your fault was, yeah, believable.
It was so believable. And so I'm just, mm-hmm, I'm just so grateful. And it's just, you know, it's just sitting there recording, and
I was just sitting there.
I was just sitting there recording.
And a miracle happened.
And, you know, really, it's just so, oh, that one recording, oh, well, not that, just that one, but just to watch everything just kind of keep flowing through and flowing through and flowing through, you know, in a wild way. Mm-hmm. You know, there's the human being having a whole range of feelings and, you know, just emoting, and then there's this, uh-huh, watching this also go on of just really incredible love and support to just, mm-hmm,
and it sounds like clarity.
And clarity, yeah,
you're able to see all of it for exactly what it was, every aspect of it.
Yeah.
Which is probably only possible when you're facing it squarely. Right? Because if you're kind of like this at it,
yeah,
you could miss some of the subtleties.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Congratulations.
So, yeah. So, that's cool. Thank you.
I love it when practice works.
Yeah. Chris?
Process of play is a good framework to look at what I've been looking at of late, and that is in and out. And I see where would I start. It's like a period of openness, and then I'm not quite sure if this is backlash or what's going on, but swinging to the other side of things. And so what I notice is almost like a hyper energy that kind of comes in, okay? And that energy is like the manic depressive cycle, and this is kind of the core of it. And it feels karmic in some way. And the energy system gets going with that, and there's like a desperation for approval or for whatever's going to kind of make that right in some way. And so at times, well, yeah, I think the question would be something like, is this something that just needs to be worn away? Is it the is there an aspect of personality that is there that can be taken care of in some sense? Is it the reaction to this, is it the system's reaction to it, the self-hate that's the difficulty? So kind of as I can step back away from it, it feels like I never get too far away from it, then there's a sense of being able to play with it in that way. And so what's a possible reassurance and doing some recording and listening with that? And
so may I just at this juncture?
Yeah.
So it feels like the first step of it is that you're quite present.
That's true. There's never a point at which I leave awareness entirely. Well, who knows? Mm-hmm.
But there's well-being. There's well-being in this one. In the first part.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
This is good. Things are good here.
Yep.
And then somehow you get to where this is the next thing that you become aware of, that the energy is, that right. There's a lot of energy.
Yeah, there's kind of a slow slide over in that direction. And so there'll be, this is the place that this is good. And then there'll be the in-between place where it'll be kind of oscillating between those two. And then at some point it'll just click in. And then this other system will be in place.
The revving up of the...
Yep.
And is there language that goes with the revving?
Yeah, it would be like something bad is going to happen. I'm not going to be equal to it. I mean, it's all along. And, you know, I don't know what it is, but something bad is going to happen, and I just have to do this. And it's like...
So it's really building anxiety.
It's building anxiety at some level, yeah, yeah. Part of the process would be a fear of failure and the shame that would follow that. And so,
although there's nothing that's being pointed at. There's just something's going to happen.
Exactly.
You're not going to be equal to it.
Yep.
You're going to fail. It's going to be humiliating.
Yeah. And so if I do a recording with that, then it's that same, that's what I get every time that happens.
And so do you ever ask, how do you know this is going to happen? Or what's going to happen? Or you know,
tell me more about that.
Yeah, can you say more about that? Because something awful is going to happen.
I have no idea what it is.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, though, because there is something awful happening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's not in the future.
Right.
Yeah. It's happening right now, and you are handling it.
Yeah. Yeah, and at some point it just goes away.
At
some point it does wear itself out, and it's nothing, it doesn't feel like it's anything I'm ever doing. It just seems like I missed a point, and then it's gone, and I can feel it come, you know, my brain come back online, that's how it feels.
Right, and then when it goes, where are you? So your brain comes back online, what does that state feel like?
That feels pretty blissful. That feels pretty wide open, you know. There really isn't. Yeah, there's not much in the way of any kind of conditioning that I even notice in that place.
And then will that
last
cycle
last?
And then that cycle starts again.
Yeah. So some of it seems like, I mean, this just kind of places that I'll vary around with it. It's like any undulation. It's a cleaning up process. In one way or another, I don't know which way yet. Again, am I wearing that out? Am I learning acceptance as I'm going through it, because I know there's some places in there where I'm doing things, but practice things using tools, but there probably is a motive that's to get me out from under it in some way. Mm-hmm. I mean, so we'll go back and forth with that. Mm-hmm. And I can feel that, but what I think a lot of times I may not notice there's a subtle undercurrent of, okay, well, let's enjoy, you know, let's enjoy these sensations, and let's at least be okay with them. And the energy in the body, I can feel some separation, but it then pulls me back in.
Uh-huh. And so with the enjoying the sensations, I'm guessing, you're practicing having those sensations without any meaning attached. And then the meaning comes back and attaches to it, and there's the emotional reaction.
Right. It puts itself back together and feels like it did. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it kind of sounds like a farming project.
Build the energy up.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Pull it up.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And then when the energy gets dissipated, when the fever breaks.
That is kind of what it feels like.
Yeah, and then there's, oh my God. Then you're back in well-being again. And ready for the, because really there's nothing happening except it's generating all that energy. Yeah. It never goes anywhere, right? It never, I mean, aside from this is the bad thing that's happening, there isn't any external or future thing, as it's implying.
No. Yeah. And then that does seem true, because in the times when, as soon as it stops, it doesn't really bother me very much, so it's allowing the energy to be built.
Yeah. So it might be interesting to do some of those recordings of when it's going on. You know, okay, all right, here we are. Something awful is going to happen. Can you say more about that?
Give me some clues.
Yeah. It's because this has happened innumerable times, and actually nothing came of it. So where is the evidence now that this is going to happen? And tell me about that, and just see what happens to the energy as you engage with it in that way.
Okay. Yeah.
Will it happen soon? You'll get a chance before long.
Can you tell me where?
I mean, that is really handy, right? With the cycles that repeat like that so quickly. Because you get lots of chances to play with them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because it can go on for a couple of days or 6 hours. I mean, it just depends.
It does kind of have a sense of the manic depressive. That feel to it, that cycle, kind of, and it can be get the whole. You can run the whole thing in 6 hours, or can take 2 weeks, or in some people's case, you know, months of living in that kind of anxiety, and then a sense of well-being.
If I didn't have the framework from awareness practice to be having the experience inside of, it would feel like a nervous breakdown. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how it feels. Kind of something like just that kind of vibration.
The nervous system, literally a nervous breakdown, not a mental breakdown.
Well, good point.
A nervous system breakdown.
Energy, Well, that's interesting, because I did get some feedback a while back from the person that gave us that big valve. And that was that the system needed to adjust to the amount of energy that it could produce. Mm-hmm. So that would make a lot of sense.
Yes, and that could be a fun one too, since we're doing play this month. When that happens, to get up and dance.
Get the energy to move.
Get the energy to move and see what happens to the sensations when the energy moves in a way that doesn't relate to a conversation about the future.
Yeah. So as you say, get playful with it and just kind of see, push and pull on it. And
exactly, right. Instead of,
corners
it, yeah, because it sounds like currently it's orchestrating the whole thing.
Yeah.
It does what it does, and you either passively or somewhat actively, but not very, watch it and feel it.
Yeah.
Try not to believe it.
Right.
But believing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It feels like it has the attention, but not all of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay.
Fun.
Very fun. Thank you.
Beth.
It's been play since the minute my feet hit the ground when I got here.
You mean you started early?
Really early a couple times. It just, I had no idea what was going to happen and went along for the ride. And just have been having a great time. So the food keeps getting better.
Yeah, I would agree.
Like, I just, every time I sit down, I'm just like, you know, I haven't had it before, and then I taste it, and I'm just like, you know.
And this is good for a person?
Exactly. Oh,
it tastes like this, and it's good for you?
Yeah. It's just been delightful. So, so I've been looking at two things. One of them is two insights. And so I thought I'd check them out. One is, the idea of letting go, I started to apply to processes rather than content. So there was a lot of anxiety about letting go of sugar or caffeine. Well, no, I let go of caffeine, but decaffeinated coffee. Like certain diet sort of things. Letting go of TV or novels or, you know, anything like that. And what really dropped in around it was, it's not the thing that is the problem, it's the process that happens around, you know, everything,
mm-hmm.
kind of much like you've already been saying. And the processes that I've been dropping are like, again, what practice has offered since I've, you know, really started, no self-hate, stop feeling bad, no judgment, no criticism, you know, just like really going, oh, that's what I want to drop. And when that gets dropped, two things happen. One is, what's there is life. Like, I don't have to do anything.
Yes. So, if I'm with you on this. So, you're going to stop watching TV. It occurs to you to stop watching TV. And what that system is able to do is present, either directly or indirectly, a picture of how awful that is. Right?
Mm-hmm.
How horrible.
Mm-hmm.
How awful you're going to feel when you do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then why would you ever want to do something that's going to result in feeling so horrible?
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you weren't allowed to see that what you were really fearing and dreading was the story of how you were going to feel, which you believed.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's, I don't want to let go of TV.
Mm-hmm.
It's the TV. That's the issue. And, of course, focusing on process that way, then you get to see, well, that seems a lot like the same thing about sugar, or that seems like the same thing about coffee, or that it's that,
yeah,
I won't be able to stand the way I feel.
Right. And so letting go of the negative processes around anything just allows for me to be able to see more clearly what life is offering,
mm-hmm.
in that way.
Mm-hmm.
It just, and I think that's another piece of this, is that it's the stopping getting, it's the stopping life happening. Like life happens, Life is living. Life is, I mean, you can see it in the weeds, you can see it, you know, when rain comes.
Boy, can you see it in the weeds.
I mean, it just, right? It just happens. And, oh, I wanted to make a weed whacker analogy, but anyway. But if it's when I believe the stories or get lost in the conversation that stops my access to life.
Yes.
If I just don't do that, then life is there and I just get to play.
That's right. And because of course life is always there. Right,
exactly.
We're just missing
exactly.
it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And so with that, so if we go with the TV, okay. So I'm going to watch TV, and see what happens.
Yeah.
And so you don't watch TV, and the system does what it does, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. And you don't get to see that if you're watching TV. Right? So it is kind of a detox.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
With any whatever this is. So you go through that period of time where, oh my God, well I can't go home tonight because there's no TV. And it's going to be awful. And so you go through that detox and you get to the point of finally you get desperate. Well, what shall I do instead? Right? And then things begin to, right? Well, I could read a novel. Because I'm not there yet with novels, okay? We're working on the TV. Yeah.
Right.
And it is that way, right?
Yeah.
So I'm, okay, well, I could read, or I could do puzzles, or I could do yoga, or
yeah.
I could do any number of things.
Oh my gosh, record and listen.
I could record and listen. I could meditate. Oh my gosh.
Meditate.
Yeah. And so now, instead of what this system
yeah.
promises,
yeah.
which is your
yeah.
life is just going to close down
right.
and be hideous, suddenly it's opening up, and
yeah.
all these
yeah.
there are all these
yeah.
possibilities.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you. Which leads to the second thing. I'll just mention it briefly. Is following first impulse.
Uh-huh.
Just, you know, it doesn't, I don't question where it came from. I don't ask, is it conditioning your life? I don't, it's just first impulse.
Go with it.
With it.
See what happens.
And see what happens. And in a way, really honing, and I think how I would say it is, we're just training listening to this small voice, you know, it's still small, just training listening for life's input, just training, and the only way I'll find out which it is by following it
yes.
to see what happens.
Exactly.
Because then it'll just reiterate, it'll build itself. It's
that's right.
Building that faith and trust and all of that, and I've just been having a ball. I mean, play is the perfect thing to have come up because it really is.
Well, and the thing that is so essential with what you're playing with currently is the understanding that you cannot make a mistake.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That life really is an adventure. It's a learning experience. It's expansive. It's not a contest. You're not going to get in trouble. Bad things don't happen to people because they, because circumstances happen in a particular way. We can't control what happens to us. And so to realize that life is not out to get you, it is not your enemy, in fact, it is what you are, then to just let go and go with it and find out. So am I following life's impulse or am I listening to something that is not on my side? And you're right, the only way you're going to find out is to go ahead and do it.
It's almost invariably, as you've said many times, the conditioning that comes in second.
Yes, oh, always. And the only way we get fooled in that kind of experiment that you're doing is if we weren't there
right.
for the original impulse.
Yeah.
And so, of course, what conditioned mind would say is, you see, you followed life, and now you're getting a speeding ticket. Okay, so you shouldn't have listened to life tell you to, but you weren't listening to life, right? You missed the first impulse. You heard ego come in with its negation of that first piece of information. You went with that, and that's what happened. So when we get to that, we just go, oh, okay, well, I missed that one. Mm-hmm. Got to pay closer attention. Thanks awfully.
Yeah, and I think part of the clue there is that life is I'm finally coming around to it, on your side, on our side, infinitely giving and generous and kind and loving. And my firsthand experience was walking down the road the other morning, and it dropped in water. And I had left my water bottle at the beginning of our working period and along the side of the road.
Somewhere.
Had no idea where it was. And it dropped in water, and I went, water. And, I mean,
it was laying right there.
Right there. Mm-hmm. It was like, intelligence saw it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gave me the information. And that's it. Sorry. I feel like I could go on forever. That's the place
I do.
Finally,
I don't know why you shouldn't.
Finally, I can step back enough as the ego and really give credit where credit's due. That doesn't sound right either. But to really go...
to realize what's happening.
Yeah, to the gratitude of when I step out of the way, look at what it offers me.
Yes.
No problem.
And to get it, that's what's happening every second of every day. And most of it we miss. And the other thing to get about that I find so exciting, it's so this just yammers on, yammer, 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 yammer. But the intelligence that animates, water.
Yeah.
Then you go, ah, water. There's no big conversation. There's no, now Beth, you know, when you went to work the other day, you left your water bottle somewhere, and by the way, you have no idea where it is. But I'm now going to show it to you and just prove to you that I'm paying attention even when you don't. Which is what ego, the way ego approaches it, right?
Exactly. So, thank you.
You're welcome, Rebecca.
So there's some kind of an identification really trying to cling right now, because I've been feeling a little tightness in the chest, and I'm doing my best to just hang with everything that's happening, and it's just registering, the body is just kind of registering something. So I don't know exactly what's going on, but something. And so just sitting in my hands already.
Say more about what does it feel like?
It feels like fear. It feels like fear. And
it's around the chest.
It's a constrict, yes, it's like right here, and it feels a little tight. And I hardly ever feel like this in group, ever.
And so it's there in the chest, and it feels tight. And the label that goes with that is fear.
Yes, this time I can go to other experiences where I would call it something else, but generally that's it. Yeah.
But what else would you call it on other occasions?
Dread.
Oh, I see. You're not going to get too far off. It's not ecstasy or
no.
Yeah. Okay.
Sadness. Yeah.
Uh huh. That's something negative.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh. And so it's tightness in the chest.
Yeah.
Okay. And is it there now?
You know, it's only on hanging on the left side. Isn't that funny? It's like it's gone here, but I can feel it sort of moving over to Chris here.
Yeah. Well, he's going to be working on it. Yeah, he'll just pass it on out. And so, how big is it?
About the size of a ping pong ball.
About the size of a ping pong ball. And is it a color?
Well, when I said ping pong ball, I thought of white, but let's see. Maybe red? Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. And is it still over to the left?
Nope.
Where is it now?
It's gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not there anymore. I love that.
It'll probably be back, of course.
Yeah.
But when it comes back, you can do the same thing to it.
Yeah.
And that's that, as we know, nothing can stand up under scrutiny.
Mm-hmm.
Only egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, wants something to be permanent.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Life is not permanent, right? And so when something takes hold like that, you know that what's keeping it in place is the label and the beliefs and the assumptions and the fear,
yeah.
The dread of God, and I don't feel this in group, and well, what does that mean? Now I'm feeling it in group, my God, there must really be something wrong.
Yeah.
And it just...
Yep, and now, incidentally, now it's right. But, you know, because you said it would be back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the thing, too, that I saw as you were saying this, as I was aware of it in this first part of group, I was also looking at what I was like, trying to make connections with what everybody was saying, and nothing was fitting. You know, and plus what I kind of had that I wanted to bring to group. And so it was like there was this process of, there's no room for me. Because I can't fit into that, and well, and it doesn't fit. And so it was sort of like, well, where am I? What am I going to say? Where am I going to, because I want to, you know, I have to build on what everybody's saying, you know. I don't know why that was the least of it. But anyway.
Well, you have to do that in order to conclude that there's no room for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Because if you weren't coming from that place, then...
Exactly, and that was there too. It's like, that doesn't matter. I mean, all of that was going on. And I could just watch attention go to what was being said, to what you were saying, to the energy in the room, to that. Me.
Mm-hmm. What about me? Where am I going to fit in? Where do I sit?
Yeah.
And it's the size of a ping pong ball.
Yeah. Well, it was a little bigger until that. But when you asked me, it had already moved out a little bit. It's a little bigger. It's more like a maybe
tennis ball.
Yeah.
Rocketing around in there, hiding out.
Yeah. And then it moved, and now it's not. I'm not even feeling it in the third chakra anymore. So
no, it doesn't want to be in this conversation.
Yeah, well, of course not. So I'm in there reporting, and you're, you know, we're just looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Was there something besides that you wanted to bring to group?
Well, actually, yeah.
We're going to make room. We're going to make room for it now.
Thank you. Yes. In fact, I'm warm now. It was about the last day of this last group session of the year long on what we've gleaned from it, and the day that we said what?
So the last month that we did was on relationship, and at the end of it, then everybody looks at what they got out of spending a month looking at relationship.
Yeah, thank you. So there was a work. There was one assignment somewhere in the last part of the month that says, "What is true that if you internalized something like, if you were to internalize it, would just take care of the karma? Would you? I just love that question. And what came to me was that all that I am, what I am, is a grown up. It's a grown-up. Authenticity is a grown-up. Because so much of what I was looking at through the month was how I get to being a child, like a little kid, like, and I need help, and I don't know, and just inadequate.
Well, where am I going to fit in?
Yeah. And knee-jerk reactions of asking for help when I haven't even really, like, I could do this. You know, and so sliding into that, no, authenticity is a grown up. I want to say I'm a grown up, but ultimately that's really
yeah, because that's the dangerous one.
Exactly. But all that I am is one way to get around that, is a growth.
All that is me.
All that is me. That's even better. I love that. All that is me, all that's real, is a grown-up. Mm-hmm. And the thing, the key that helped unlock that, that helps unlock that place where I can, where I'm feeling that kid place and I can go to the grown-up place, the key is that it's what y'all were talking about, and it's that last line from the last poem of a retreat we did recently, the line of something like, it's time for you to get the impossibility that there's anything other than grace. Mm-hmm. I just love that. Mm-hmm. Because what that does for...
That everything you do is sacred.
Yes. And what you were just talking about, there is no way to make a mistake. There's no way any of this is a mistake. And for some reason, that's not clear to me at this moment, but when I'm there, it's crystal clear. That just slides me right into the grown-up place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's important to remember that, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lots of recordings about that.
Yeah.
Especially when the ping pong tennis ball attacks.
Yeah.
And you hear that. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, I do want to underline one thing that I always find really dangerous. When people get too much into being a grown-up and being able to whatever... Mm-hmm. Is that to keep in mind that life, as far as we can tell, is the ultimate team player.
Team player.
Mm-hmm. That life, as far as we know, doesn't even have the ability to be on its own. Mm-hmm. In a non-separate reality, mm-hmm. it's one big team.
Yeah, and the danger part is that grown up can be
myself.
I'm fine.
I know what to do. I can make that decision. It's an easy place for ego to slide in, and want to be that I who is the grown up.
So that's the opposite end of the duality of I need help. No, I don't need help.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Just slid right over team player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big, big old strong karmic tendency that I...
Most people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So on the 28th, I think, of July, at Center, we're going to do a workshop on victimizer. Which is a variation of what you're describing.
Huh.
Can you see that?
Kind of. And I just saw something else of it. Would you?
Well, the...
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's being a victim to life. And it, for me. And it's not hard to get to everybody else. And I know... And then to slide over into, well,
them. Them. Like that, kind of.
That's right.
Yeah.
Heck with them. I'm on my own here.
Yeah. You know, another flavor of that I think is maybe even the same thing exactly is, so I just got back from seeing family, and at one point I was in this big old family gathering, and my brother said something that he has said before, and every time it just kind of zings me. He said about Rebecca, oh yeah, we used to call her Mother's Little Angel. And I said, and he said it twice this time, and I said, you don't know how hard a role that was to play, you know, kind of joking back. And then I was remembering all the times that I was not Mother's Little Angel. You know, I was, you know, and that victimizer, angel, devil kind of thing is what it feels like I get, It's just the duality that I get.
And do you sense that your brother knew that you weren't always an angel? Was that part of his message?
No, but he has known me my whole life, so he must know. I mean, my life kind of bears out that.
Well, in other words, that's part of it. That there was a,
yeah, like he was teasing it.
Yeah, and that it was a role that was being played. It wasn't. It may have fooled Mother. It may have fooled somebody, but there was no confusion about whether or not you were actually an angel.
I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you see him again, you might do some reflecting.
Uh-huh.
So, how was that for you?
Uh-huh.
can you say a little something about that? What was that? Did you want that role? Or
yeah. That would be good.
Yeah, it'd be fun to find out.
You know what he was doing? He said, so it was kind of like, because somebody said, yeah, well, you were her favorite. And he said, so it was like Rebecca couldn't do anything wrong and I could do no wrong. You know, so it was sort of like, I don't know, but it's an interesting dynamic we have there. But
this is what's so interesting about families. Those are the conversations that people don't have.
Yeah.
We have a book coming out. We have a book coming out shortly. Shortly. It'll really encourage that. You can get a copy to the entire family and then say, I would like this to be the structure of our next family gathering. And we'll all practice drawing out and clarifying, and then we'll reflect.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're right. We just sort of skate over it.
Oh, yeah. And just assume that you know what people are talking about. Like, we don't know what people are talking about. We're just projecting onto them.
Yeah.
Fun.
Mm-hmm. I've really enjoyed the conversation. And I've seen stuff along the whole way. So, you said something this morning on the radio show that I cannot think how you said it, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't this way, but it was something like, so we were talking about relationship, and it was something like, no one can give you yourself. And I thought that was huge. I've never heard you say, again, I'm not sure that's how you said it. So
we'll have to listen.
For the record,
we'll have to listen back.
But
that does sound right.
What just stunned me is that, you know, it's not like we don't talk about things like that, but I just saw in that that what we're seeking is, you could say, ourselves, which in my experience is because I'm living life in this vehicle, or however you want to talk about that, is my only direct access to life. So if there's a way in which what I want as myself is oneness, right? That is that experience. And how perfect it is in terms of, you know, I mean, yeah, duality, creating duality, splitting into two, conditioned mind, how perfect it is that we're trained to get you to give that to me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because it's never going to happen.
Right. And when I think that's what it was, when you say it that way, it just, because I think in culture we talk about it, well, you have to love yourself first, and, you know, you have to be your own best friend and things like that, and it's like, okay.
You can't give to anybody else what you don't have for yourself.
Right, which I
everybody
think
goes, uh-huh.
And it's a little like not watching television. Like, I really don't want to do that. That doesn't sound like fun. And I know I should. Like, it's bad to watch television, so I shouldn't do that, but I actually want to. But when you say, no one can give you yourself, right, of course not. It's so clear.
It's so obvious.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was out and about a little bit yesterday, and I saw an image, a photograph that was on the news, I saw this photograph that was really disturbing. I wish I hadn't seen the photograph. And And I just was, it just stayed, it was such a perfect image. I mean, and I'm sure, you know, everyone who lives with that stuff sees it every single day, you know, it's always happening. But I think one of the things I actually enjoy is that I'm not exposed to it, usually. So it has a pretty strong impact on me. And what I just saw, again, was, and it takes me back to the blog, or a newsletter article you wrote, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, the hate article. And just how obvious it is to me, the connection between that, like, that we're taught to look for ourselves through you, that we can't do that, and that that creates this, everything that it creates, and it ends up in horrific violence that seems completely unconnected because it's way down the line. And I just think, well, anyway, I reported so much about it driving home and looking at, boy, I mean, we can really make this connection. You know, we can, like, because what's been happening in my own practice is there's a lot of clarity coming through. I can really relate to the things cycling through all the time. And I heard myself say something in the last retreat that we recently finished that has had such a huge impact on me, which is that someone was talking about having had a big trauma in their lives and quite a long time ago, and how it cycles through, and that becomes evidence that, you know, they haven't, and what I heard myself talking about was, or maybe it just cycles through.
Yeah, if we took winter
exactly
personally,
exactly.
Oh, what have we done wrong? I mean, we had spring, we had summer,
yeah. We
had fall. We were doing so well, and then here it is again.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like. And just having with that, it's the squarely, the facing it squarely thing. With that perspective, it's like the components of how it's happening become available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like magic.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like there's such access for me in my own process to seeing how I end up as the victimizer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I end up there is being the victim.
Yes, and with what you're saying, people don't realize that victim, I don't want to give away the whole retreat, the workshop case, but it's happening constantly inside, right?
Constantly.
That's what orientation to life. Why is this happening to me? I try so hard. I'm such a good person. I'm fine. Why is this happening to me? Because,
yes,
there's something wrong with you.
That's right. And you know what? There's something wrong with them. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. And they're doing that to me.
Yeah.
They're making me feel that way.
Yes.
I hate them. And you know, it's just one of those things that's never going to be popular in our culture. But it speaks to exactly what you're talking about. There's a little kid who loves animals.
Mm.
Loves animals. Mm-hmm. And anybody who has kids or can remember being a kid, you know this one, right? Loves animals. And then finds out that's what we're eating for dinner.
Yeah.
And that is a rough, rough patch.
Yes.
Right? And almost every child is coerced into getting past that, what they feel, in order to go ahead and eat that creature.
Yeah.
Until finally it's just gone. It's not a part of your awareness at all. It's just what we do.
Yeah.
But making that shift,
yeah. It's
not that hard
than
to do that with a person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And
because if you can take something as cute and sweet as a duck or a lamb,
yeah.
and lose interest in how it feels, cease to see it as a sweet, adorable, lovable creature, how much easier is it to see a human being who you don't know, probably doesn't look like the people that that you care about, who's doing something that is dangerous to you and probably not completely, could be if they have a chance, they will. What you have to do to them is obvious.
Well, and that absolutely relates to what, as I was reporting about it, because what I just went to is, you know, sit, take some, when you were saying something as cute as a duck, and nail its feet to the floor so that, you know, and, you know, I know really good people, people I love, who are deeply lovely, compassionate people, who would say, you know what, I don't want to talk about that. I mean, that's what they would say. Mm-hmm. I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. And
I don't want to think about what I'm doing.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because what I
thought... And so, how easy is it to keep people living in poverty?
Yeah.
To know that in our own country, huge percentages of people go hungry every day.
Yeah. And you know what, Sharon?
I don't know.
See, to me, that's the face it squarely thing. Because where I go, like, oh, God... Basically, what was in one of those first conversations, like, oh God, it's horrible, I'm terrible, I gotta do more, which I think is what this group of people do. But facing it squarely, it's a whole different thing. We were just talking about it on the show this morning, weren't we? Can't remember, but anyway, it's familiar. but what I saw was, I went to that place, again, this is so jam. Okay, all we need to do then is to make that connection for people. You could create a whole curriculum about it, around it, where you would see, like, take this image, and you could actually trace it back. You could go way back up the river and find the how this happens internally. And then people could find their own examples. And then I was like, you know what, that's all predicated on that people would want to do that.
And people don't even want to think about that chicken that they're eating.
And that's, I think...
Or stop watching TV.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Or not eat sugar.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a... That's kind of a... I think that's a place I'm working with somewhere deep down here. That is maybe a piece of... I don't know, just stuff that I've been working about physiologically. And just that reconciling, like, whoa... That just feels, you know?
Yeah, and when we see, how difficult and painful it is for us, we get why it's not popular.
Completely.
Yeah, and so, in fact, with every one of us, if we could have gotten by without ever being aware of any of this stuff, we'd have done it.
Completely.
We tried.
Yeah.
Remember? We tried. I don't want to think about it. That's too hard. That's too painful. Nope. In fact, there was a line in the book we were just looking at about when hoping that when people wake up in the way that we're talking about, that when people wake up, they wake up slowly enough that they that they have a chance to choose compassion over self-hatred.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you were talking about that this morning. Yeah, someone was saying having a large awareness and not seeing it for years, and I think you were saying something like that, that place of, you know, it would have been dangerous, almost. I can't remember the word you used, to see it then, because I wouldn't have been ready for it.
Yeah, it would have. Yeah, would have been devastating.
Yeah.
But when we see things at just the right time, we're ready to see it.
Yeah.
We have everything we need to be able to take it in from a perspective of compassion and loving kindness.
Yeah.
You can't make a mistake. We can't make a mistake because we don't have that ability.
Yeah. Yeah.
We don't have that kind of power.
Yeah, yeah, that's funny. It's like an arrogant stance. It's kind mm-hmm. of the thing you did. We refer back to it all the time. But in a retreat where you were talking about, you know, sitting, you know, God, you've done a great job. I mean, the flowers, wow, and the, oh, it's just amazing, you know, and then just a couple things about me. I was looking at that just quickly. The, I guess it's an onion in the garden. I mean, I just think that it must be where Dr. Seuss got his inspiration. But the plants are like these curlicue things, and then have this flower on top of them that just look like a big, like if you were looking way off in the distance, it would kind of look like, you know, one of those dandelion things.
Oh, huh.
And then when you look at it closely, I mean, it's unbelievable. Like if you take a up-close picture of it, it looks like a bouquet of big white flowers. Mm. Every single flower is exquisitely detailed, and I don't even know how many there must be on that thing. It just, and that just grows. It's exquisite.
Yeah.
Incredible. Talk about play. I was thinking about that. I haven't even read a word of that.
but you will tonight.
I will tonight,
and
exactly.
Then you'll be able to record it.
Yeah, yeah. But just the play of life is incredible. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's lovely playing with all of you tonight. Thank you.